everyone. This is Cameron Marceau with Black Liver Project. Monster in a Glass doing another episode of Monster in a Glass cocktail podcast. See, this is like an endless loop. I could just keep doing this over and over, repeating Monster in a Glass podcast over and over. Today we are doing another cocktail. This one is called Dr. Cocktail. I'm seated here with Jason Cruz, who is the Black Liver Project's historian and researcher. Something about this name really actually kind of bugs me.
The Dr. Cocktail?
It's not even the Dr. Cocktail. It's just Dr. Cocktail.
When I hear it, I think of Dr. Detroit for some reason, which was a shitty Dan Aykroyd movie from the 80s.
And yeah.
I agree.
It feels like there should be sequins and like really big sunglasses or something. It's just...
Yeah, no, you're right. It's somebody flipping around bottles of booze,
yeah,
like a la Cocktail, the movie.
Yeah,
but was that with more rhinestones?
Was that with Tom Cruise, right?
Yeah,
that was in the phase of movies where he was always playing the best of something.
Yeah,
he was the best race car driver, best football player, best.
Best fighter pilot,
best pool player.
Yeah,
he did that whole string of movies where he was the best bartender,
well,
best competitive bartender,
best bartender to flip bottles of booze around. Yeah. And actually, I saw that in Vegas, and it was obnoxious to watch some guy flip bottles around his back. I was like, that doesn't do anything for the cocktail.
Yeah,
and
I'm thirsty.
Yeah, I know. You're delaying my drinking, and therefore you're a bad bartender.
And aren't there a lot of people who would like drinks?
Yes.
Was it an empty bar?
At the time, yes. There was like one or two people who were like, yay! It's like, whatever.
And that's funny, because at the point when you would probably benefit the most doing that, in the sense that you're putting on a show, the whole place should be packed. But then you're not actually serving drinks.
Right, and maybe that's the key is, well, you know, you have a packed bar and you're flipping around bottles and not actually pouring drinks. People are like, dude, hurry this shit up.
Yeah, I'm losing valuable gambling time here.
I know, right? I just want a drink. I don't want to see circus tricks.
Yeah, exactly.
So I could see it. Dr. Cocktail. It does sound like, it sounds phony. Sounded like a made-up drink. When you sent it to me, I was like, is this really in the book? Did Ted Haig just say, hey, I'm going to name a drink after myself, and then
say it's forgotten.
Say it's forgotten. But it actually is forgotten. There are recipes for this. There is one interesting one that comes up from a book called Along the Wine Trail, an Anthology of Wines and Spirits from G. Selmer Fogner. I've used this book many times. It's kind of interesting. It's 1935, and it says, there are several recipes for this cocktail, which had reached an amazing degree of popularity when Prohibition went into effect. The best, in my opinion, is the one made with brandy, as follows.
Wait, so this is a Prohibition-era cocktail?
He's saying it reached its popularity during that time, so not necessarily that it was a Prohibition cocktail, but that's when it reached its popularity.
Why? Why do you think? What's in it?
Well, what he lists as the best one, which is different than the one that Ted Haig lists, is one-third brandy, one-third white creme de menthe, one-third Boone Camp bitters, and I'm not sure what that is.
Oh, the creme de menthe, that's Prohibition right there. Make your breath minty.
And then it says Crockett is, and I don't know who they're referring to, is the authority for the statement at the Waldorf, where it was in great demand. So I think what he's saying is the Prohibition era, it was popular, that this guy's telling him it was popular then. It was made with equal parts Swedish punch and lime juice, so this matches with the Ted Haig. Only they use gin and not Jamaican rum. And then we have a recipe from the Patrick Gavin Duffy book, Visual Mixer's Manual, which is one jigger Cedarlands punch, which is Swedish punch. It was just another name for it. One juice of lime, no Jamaican rum, no gin, just the Swedish punch and lime.
Huh.
These are both from 1934 and 1935. I'm not sure where Ted Haig got his recipe, but it has rum in it. And none of the recipes that they list have rum in it. But what he said is that here is another Trader Vic variation. So it's more likely it shows up in the Trader Vic book that he referred to in the Derby cocktail. But it does sound like he's attributing this to Trader Vic, which makes sense.
What's Trader Vic?
So Trader Vic, Victor Bergeron, was the...
Isn't Trader Vic like a store?
It was a restaurant. He's credited with creating the Mai Tai.
Oh.
And he was all about the tropical drinks, so zombies. And when you go to Trader Vic's, you drink fruity rum drinks, basically.
Oh, okay.
So that sort of explains why, if he got this from Trader Vic, from what I can assume from the Derby recipe, that he got this from the 1948 Trader Vic book. And since these recipes are older, that Trader Vic saw these recipes and then added rum. Trader Vic was all about rum.
Yeah.
So okay. That kind of makes sense why rum shows up all of a sudden.
I think I should become friends with Trader Vic.
I think he's dead.
But rum.
So that's pretty much all there is on the Dr. Cocktail.
Really?
He calls it his namesake. It has nothing to do with it. He gave himself his nickname from what I understand. So it's not connected to this drink. I don't know why they call it the Dr. Cocktail. It just sounds fruity. It doesn't sound like it would cure anything, which when I hear doctor, that's what I would assume that it's...
It would cure your need for rum.
I guess, yeah, yes. It would cure all your booze needs.
From what I... Yeah, I'm ailing from that.
Right, so...
I haven't had nearly enough rum this week.
You would think that something like a hot toddy might be called a doctor cocktail, where it's... Something, well, at least, I guess it has lime, it does have lemon juice, or...
Or maybe it's more like a witch doctor kind of thing.
Oh, that's true. I never thought of it that way.
People were fascinated with the strangeness of things that were actually, you know, fabricated, or not as strange as they actually were.
Witch doctor.
Yeah, it's like... One of them.
But from what I can tell, I mean, when you call it Dr. Cocktail... Based on the book saying that there are several recipes, they don't list the several recipes, but it has brandy, creme de menthe. That doesn't sound like much of a cure-all. I don't know. I think of something a little bit harder than brandy being a cure-all. You know, something with moonshine.
What was it that the St. Bernards carried to you in the Alps?
Apparently that's myth, too.
But it was mythical brandy. That's what it was.
Was it brandy?
Yeah.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure.
You're probably right. I'll go with that. It was some kind of brown liquid.
Yeah.
If cartoons are any indication of actual history, it was brown liquid. Tom and Jerry told me it was brown liquid, so then let's just go with that. But, you know, some of the recipes do have lemon juice in it. You know, lime juice. I guess some kind of citrus, vitamin C.
Well.
But other than that, yeah, not much on this one.
I guess we'll take it to the kitchen.
Dr. Cocktail, 2 ounces Appleton Estate Jamaican Rum, 1 ounce Cronin Swedish Punch, 1 ounce fresh lime juice.
We have moved over to the Brixton where we do our tastings. Michael Donnelly is the bartender here who always sets us up right. And we are now going to taste Dr. Cocktail.
Dr. Cocktail.
Dr. Cocktail.
So weird. It is weird. I find it so weird that there's not a the in front of doctor.
I know.
No. It's doctor. Yeah.
It reminds me of how I refer to the internet as Dr. Internet.
Really?
Yeah. Let me ask Dr. Internet about that. Let me ask Dr. Cocktail about this.
Yeah, we could do that.
You could
ask Dr. Cocktail.
I don't really know if the answers will be good.
It's so strange. It's like, I mean, without like the article in front of it, it makes it sound like kind of like a person.
It does. I think that's where you're getting hung up.
Kind of like Princess Caroline on BoJack Horseman.
Oh, I love Princess Caroline.
Like, without the it doesn't seem like a drink. It seems like a person.
It
but
does.
But then the whole doctor thing adds, like, this whole level of... I don't know. It, like, assumes a lot about this cocktail. Or if it was a person.
I was curious to hear what adjective you would use. Right.
It's a specialist.
In cocktail.
I know. This is
a doctor of cocktail.
His is PhD in cocktail.
Yeah.
I hope it's good. Yeah.
But then there's...
It must be.
I mean, but we also have Dr. Pepper.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true.
I've got a question. If you were to see Dr. Pepper, who would that person be? Can you describe Dr. Pepper to me?
He's got a top hat.
You know what? I always had the same kind of thinking. He's like a very distinct, almost maybe of a monocle.
Yeah.
He's got a maroon colored like suit jacket on.
Definitely maroon. Definitely maroon.
Like the color of the
can. Probably a waxed mustache.
Yeah, I always envisioned him as like an old timey.
Is this a doctor of medicine?
He's a doctor of pepper.
Yeah.
A pep.
Yes. He studies spices and flavors.
Right, and that's the other
pepper thing.
Great, and that's the other thing. Dr. Pepper, where does the pepper come into play?
Well, there's not a pepper flavor in there.
No.
This smells like there's like over 30 flavors in
right.
Dr. Pepper. I don't think pepper is one of them.
What a misnomer. I've been misled.
There's no pepper in there.
No.
Maybe we need a garnish of green pepper.
Now, I'm actually kind of shocked that everybody assumed that Dr. Pepper was a man.
Oh, wow. I'm a terrible feminist.
Yeah,
that's right. There you go.
Oh, man, we failed.
Wow. They're going to take our cards away.
Yeah, they are.
Now you would have had a get out of jail free card with Mr. Pibb.
With Mr. Pibb and the many friends of Dr. Pepper.
I mean, at the same time, are any of the non-cola dark beverages, dark pop sodas, whatever
you like to call them,
whatever you like from whatever part of the country you are, of all of those that have some kind of a title?
Yes.
Are there any that are women?
Yeah. I think Dr. Thunder could be a woman.
I mean, you know, if any of them is going to be a woman, I think it is Dr. Thunder.
Isn't there a skipper? I think there's a skipper.
What, like Mr. Skipper? Skipper?
Dr. Skipper? Okay. Isn't that Barbie's friend?
Oh my god, no. Skipper is her teenage sister. Teenage?
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, teenage.
Okay.
I think.
So, okay, I found a couple lists of like off-brand Dr. Pepper. And some of the best ones, Dr. Radical.
Oh, that's a good one.
And Dr. Perky.
Oh, is that, where is that? I really want it.
I don't know. Oh, it's from Food Lion.
Food Lion, Dr. Perky.
It's Dr. Skipper.
Oh, it's Premium Dr. Perky.
What's the Walmart one?
That might be Dr. Thunder.
I think it is Dr. Thunder. I think you're right. When my mom would shop at Walmart and I would ask for a soda, I would only ever get 35 cents to buy the off-brand one instead of 50 to buy the can of the full.
I think Dr. Thunder is a urologist. I think that's...
No, I don't know.
A proctologist.
I kind of like Rachel's.
Now that I think about it,
Dr. Perky?
I think of Dr. Thunder.
I hope that's not the woman.
No.
I hope that's not where this is going.
No, it's definitely
Dr. Perky is the urologist. Dr. Thunder is like, she's kind of like a superhero doctor.
Yeah.
In the sense that she's got like giant gazungas and like also like really full hips and thighs, but like, you know, like kind of like drawn and like that, like superhero, like she's gonna like.
She got like one of.
Yeah.
We're making like, an hourglass shape right now.
Yeah.
But like
the extreme.
A really narrow waist.
And then like enormous hips and ass and.
Yeah,
thighs.
Yeah, yeah.
Like kind of like built kind of like the people from Lilo and Stitch.
Yeah. What my grandmother would very unfeministly call baby bearing hips.
Oh.
Yes.
Oh.
That is Dr. Thunder.
Oh, okay. You can see those statues in the art museum downtown.
She's got a very Rubenesque.
Yeah.
She's got a headband that's got like a lightning bolt on it.
And when she puts out her palm, 32 flavors of soda shoot outward.
And like in like a sound shockwave.
Now, does she attack people with it, or is it positive?
She uses her powers for good, for quenching the thirst of the needy.
The need for 32
and rotting
flavors.
And rotting everyone's teeth.
So much sugar.
Wow, I think we've thoroughly investigated
the doctor aspect of this cocktail.
Exactly.
Doctor Extreme. Doctor Good Guy.
Doctor, oh God, that's great.
Doctorific.
Doctor Good Guy sounds like a translation.
Mr. Oh, the giant eagle, Mr.
Trans something.
Mr. I is the giant eagle? Oh, that's so
and
good.
And then there was one other one that I really, really liked. Let me pull it up. Okay, here's your Dr. Skipper. If I'm Dr. Skipper, that's the Safeway Select.
Yeah, it's like Jewel.
Jewel, yeah.
Oh, yeah, Jewel is
Jewel.
Safeway.
Yeah.
No,
it was Dominic's was. Yeah, that's right.
So we no longer
we don't have the benefit
we cannot
of
get the Skipper
we Dr.
Anymore.
Skipper.
Not from Chicago. Oh, here's my favorite one. Dr. Topper.
Where's that? What is he topping? I'm concerned about this.
I can't read where it's from. It's a tiny picture of a can that says Dr. Topper. I don't know. Dr.
Well,
Choice?
So I think that the name...
I think
we don't know where it came from, and there's lots of different versions. It's from 1935-ish, okay? So it's not really all that old, but like, I think that the doctor something, as we've seen,
Plenty,
is just automatic. And you know, you're gonna put doctor in front of anything.
It's true.
And so that's gonna happen to a cocktail. It's just going to happen. And that's why there's probably all these different versions with that name. And the one that we're having is just the one that the author of the book picked. Now, this is one that comes from Trader Vic and some other guy as well. So it's like, it's a little bit sexier because of Victor Bergeron. But like...
Well, that's why there's the Jamaican rum in it.
Exactly.
Oh, I see.
So it's a rum and Swedish punch and lime cocktail. So we've got the lime going.
Pretty good.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's...
Except for Cam, who doesn't like lime.
Yeah, I'm gonna just...
You don't like lime?
No, lime
what
is...
What a strange thing to dislike.
I think most people don't like lime, and I think...
Is that your theory?
I think that the trade from green, for the green candy to green apple, it pretty much proves that.
Okay.
I mean, they had lemon, they had orange. They're always the last ones in the bag. And so, in order to get green a little bit more credit...
They make it apple.
Which candy?
See, there you go. Like any of them. Green has
been...
Yeah,
like those box candies, the lime ones were lime.
Huh. Citrus is just kind of sour. And especially when you're talking about candies, I mean, they don't really taste like what...
Like a lemon head?
It's like, yeah. you're not tasting lemon, you're tasting yellow.
And like cherry and strawberry candies just taste like red.
They're
they
red.
Taste like red, yeah.
Yeah, and when you ask for a popsicle, you ask for red, because you're going to get something in the red flavor category.
And purple popsicles don't taste like grapes, they just taste like purple.
They taste
I do like purple, though.
Eat a grape, taste a purple popsicle,
not exactly.
Nothing...
I don't know, though, lime... Green lime popsicles taste like lime.
And that's why they're gone.
Well, I like them. I like the green popsicles.
I like them too, Ray. I'm with you.
So yeah, that's...
Well then, I'm sorry you're going to have to drink Dr. Cocktail.
I'll live through it. There is rum in it, and that's one of my favorites.
Oh yeah? I'm glad that he went all the way for the doctor. I mean, I know he was considering just doing the Masters.
He had a mentor who believed in him
and really pushed him to go for the doctorate.
Yeah.
And that's not easy. So,
especially in this job market.
That's right. That's a lot of money.
It's a big commitment.
Student loans are out of control.
Right. Well, they wouldn't have been in 1935. More reasonable unit.
I wonder.
More reasonable cost.
That's true. That's true. Did you know that New York University was like free? Like NYU was free for everybody until like the 60s? If you were a city resident, it was like a city college.
Because all the young men were dead.
What?
They all died. They all
in the war?
From the 40s,
they
yeah.
They got shooted. They done got shooted?
Yeah.
Mm. In foreign lands.
Mm. Oh, shit.
Oh, my gosh. Those are beautiful.
Oh, my goodness.
Nice. Wow. Ladies first.
Gorgeous. Thank you. It smells very refreshing.
Like lime.
The lime, yeah. The lime will do it.
It smells like lime.
It smells like lime.
That's a lot of things.
I can smell the rum. I can smell the rum.
You better be able to smell the rum.
Rum, lime, and the Swedish punch. Heavy rum. I put a little more rum in there just because I made it quickly and it just didn't seem to have a lot of volume to it.
Okay.
So I probably, it calls for 2 ounces of rum. I probably put about 2 1/4
okay.
ounces of rum, maybe 2 1/2.
Okay.
All right. So
thank
you. Smell the rum.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
I really like the lime twist. I think the lime twist is underutilized. I think it's a,
yeah.
I think it's a wonderful skin. Mm-hmm. A lot of body to it. It's always very clean. And the oils are very different. So I do like the lime twist. I think that's kind of what sets it apart. A lot of lime juice.
Yeah.
That's going to come through.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
come through.
All right.
Okay.
Enjoy, guys.
Thank you.
All for you, Kim.
Yeah. All for you. Oh, it smells good.
Mm.
It smells like Swedish punch and rum.
So okay, you're gonna hate this.
No, he's not.
Oh yeah, have you tried this yet, Cam?
I haven't. So there's rum.
Yep.
There's rum junior.
Sweetie Bun, yeah. Rum Junior.
We had it last time with the Deaky Deaky.
Yeah.
Deaky Deaky.
And we liked it better than the Deaky Deaky.
We liked it. It's straight.
It smells good. It smells like a daiquiri, you know?
Yeah, it does. You're right.
It is very limey. It is very limey. Oh, oh no!
You could like take a picture and it'd be like a baby with its first lemon.
It.
Made you get a picture.
It is overwhelmingly limey.
Yeah.
I like it, but I like lime. But I can't taste much else.
Yeah.
I can't really. I can smell the rum. I can't really taste the rum.
I think this is going to cover my. It's going to protect me from scurvy for a year. You know.
And whiten your teeth.
That too. That too. The benefits of the doctor.
Yes, the doctor.
I like it.
Well, you like lime.
Mm-hmm.
That's. Really, that's it.
So
I do not
someone
taste
who,
the rum.
I
don't taste
hint.
Enough of the rum.
No, I taste a hint.
I feel like it's gonna kick me in the head. It's there, like it's like I'm getting rum. It's like a lime drink that's gonna beat me up. More than it does just yeah. My mouth.
And I don't taste any of the Swedish punch, obviously.
I think you do.
I can smell things more than I can taste them.
I get the Swedish punch. There's a lot of lime in here. It's refreshing. I like it.
It'd be a very good summer drink.
I don't find this to be curative. I don't think it's a medicinal taste, and I don't think it will fix my
scurvy.
My ailments. It will fix my scurvy. And that's what I'm doing.
It's gonna give me an ulcer.
Or it's like.
Like. Forcing yourself.
Cam's not impressed.
Yeah, I mean,
Cam's not on board.
And that has nothing to do with the way the drink is prepared. This is prepared properly.
It's prepared beautifully.
Yes. And three people here like it. But, like, once again, I'm the baby. I'm the crybaby. Yeah, well, I mean, I usually do this because in the cocktail world, there's. I think I only like meat and potatoes, like, so to speak. So,
yeah.
Like, if there's too much flavor, then maybe I start getting whiny. The Bloody Mary episode was just a train wreck.
Do you like Bloody Mary?
I don't like tomato juice.
Yeah,
so, like, when we did it, they were trying to make one that I would like, and I'm like, how is that possible? You have to not put in the blood. You have to, like, not put
in the... My sister ordered a Bloody Mary yesterday at a restaurant, and they accidentally gave her strawberry mix.
Oh! Oh!
What?
Wow!
So it came, and she was like, this looks really pink. And she tried it, and it tasted like bubble gum. And she was like, this isn't a Bloody Mary. It was at a Chinese restaurant. I would never advise ordering like a cocktail at a Chinese restaurant. And it was not like a super upscale Chinese restaurant. It would really mess with your mind if you thought that was Bloody Mary.
The sweetest
it was like hot. It was like hot cake.
And it was clearly a mistake.
Somehow. It was clearly a mistake.
So like there was a celery in there and
no, I think they put an egg roll in there. They didn't put like any accoutrement. She asked. She said this doesn't taste like a Bloody Mary. And they said vodka and Bloody Mary mix, right? And she said yes. That's not what this is. So there was no like olive, no nothing.
I remember once in my youth.
Yeah.
I worked at a restaurant, and somebody accidentally put whipped cream on the salad bar, and people were putting whipped cream on their baked potatoes.
No. That's so good.
And when the customers are like, this tastes like shit, what is this? the waiters would just be like, do you want a cherry?
Will that help?
Yeah. But I mean, really, it's essentially a daiquiri without the sugar.
Well, it's with the Swedish punch in place of the sugar.
Yeah, exactly. And because it's just lime and rum.
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine as someone who doesn't like citrus how you're feeling about this. Because I love citrus, and it's strong.
Yeah, it's overpowering.
There's a lot of lime in there.
I do not find this refreshing or relaxing. It's like taxing. It's like...
When will it be over?
On a 90-degree day, this would be refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
On an 18-degree...
On a 90-day ship voyage, maybe.
Oh, no! I'm still thinking about the connection between the name and the drink. Well, I really...
This is...
Swedish doctor.
Okay, on the back of the Swedish Punch bottle, it says, the origins of Swedish Punch date back to 1733 with sailors of the Swedish East India Company who prepared it on board en route home to Gothenburg. Still to this day, it is reserved hot. Oh, it's served hot.
I can't imagine that.
As an accompaniment to pea soup.
Oh, right, yeah. Oh, we talked about the pea soup last time.
Okay, but the part before that where they're talking about... You know,
and we have the Swedish pirates.
Yeah, the Swedish pirates drank it.
They were called Vikings.
Well, I should say the Swedish traders. Swedish...
No, maybe it is a scurvy thing.
But, I mean, this wouldn't have been, you know, Caribbean traders.
Why not?
East India?
Oh, East India?
Wouldn't East India...
This is a sugarcane drink.
What? Oh, so no, it would have been Caribbean then. Thank you, Cam. Yes, okay, so yeah. Oh, here we go. Made with sugarcane spirits of both the East and West Indies. Okay, so yeah. So these could have been, you know, Caribbean Swedish sailors. They could have...
Vikings.
They could have, you know, they could have made this drink themselves.
Vikings and Speedos.
Yeah.
Wait, what? Wait, what? Why?
Would this be better with orange instead of lime?
I kind of like the bitterness of the lime. I would worry if it was orange, it would be too much like orange juice.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
Because it does taste kind of a little like limeade right now.
I just kind of like think like, what if you use like the same amount of orange juice? So it's not like, you know, you're overpowering it like you would with like a screwdriver.
What about a lemon lime? It's still going to be really, really acidic, though, because there's very little sugar.
And really fucking tart.
But really tart. Very tart.
Jesus.
Yeah. Very tart.
Michael said he put extra rum in it. I can't imagine.
I know. What it
Oh, yeah. Thank God.
Yeah.
Thank you, Michael.
Yeah. If there wasn't enough juice. With less rum, this would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I finished mine.
Yeah, you're the first to finish.
Right? Yeah, well, it was...
You wanted to get it over with.
Yeah, exactly. It's like getting a shot. You're just like, just fucking get it over with. So, I think we've explored the Dr. Cocktail enough. So, we'll wrap it up.
It's fuckery. It's fuckery.
Yeah. So, if you've been enjoying the cocktail shows, and we've changed the format now, we've got Jason Cruz talking... giving us a little bit of background at the beginning, and then we come here, and Michael Donnelly mixes us some delicious cocktails here, and we talk about them and other crazy stuff. If you like this, like the Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter, and subscribe on iTunes, because that's probably the easiest way to get up to date all the time. So I guess we'll wrap it up. If you're into thinking and drinking, come blacken your liver with us Tuesday nights here at the Brixton in Andersonville. Until next time, bye now.
To the Monster in a Glass podcast. I'd like to thank Jason Cruz for researching our content, our regular tasting team, Rachel Rubin, Kevin Ratajczyk, Bethany Lang, and Nicole Pizzini, for joining me in the grueling task of tasting the cocktails we discuss, the Brixton and their bartender, Michael Donnelly, for letting us cavort in their liquid playground, Dan Cruz for art direction and editing, and Mark Piani for the music at the head of the show. Go to blackliverproject.com to see the show archive, become a member, contribute to the project, and get in touch with us. And follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get the latest news and as it happens updates during live events. And as always, if you're into thinking and drinking, let us blacken your liver.